Good morning, church. Good morning, live stream church. Glad everyone is here. Are you ready to worship? You know, with all the, you know, I don't know if anybody's noticed, our world's kind of chaotic right now. Lots going on. I was thinking the other day, if only Jesus had said something about that. I mean, if only he had spoken about that.
Man,
wouldn't that be great? Oh, he has. He says, these are the words of Christ. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Church, those are the words of our Savior. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I think Jesus would tell us, trust me. Trust me. I got it. I'm spinning the world on my finger. We can trust him. He is trustworthy. Yes? Are you ready to worship? Let's invite him to be in this place. You'll pray with me. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, we thank you that because of you, because of your promises, we don't have to worry about anything. You are trustworthy. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place? Would you move in us? Surprise us, oh God. We pray that that powerful name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, that name would be high and lifted up in our thoughts, in our song. Father, we love you. We praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Rise if you're able as we worship.
Chains break at the weight of your glory.
in this morning as we gather here. I'm so grateful for what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I'm here alone by the grace of God. And every one of us, I want you to know, we are redeemed people. That we are saved by the grace and the love of God. And that God is for every person in this place this morning. God loves you. And His Spirit, it's right here. It's right here with you. So all I think you have to do is you got to open that heart. Jesus is knocking on your heart. You got to open up. Let His Holy Spirit come inside of you. And that we lay ourselves down, that we say, Lord, I'm unworthy. I want you to know, church, I am unworthy to be here. It is not my goodness. I did not merit my way to God. I didn't earn this, and I don't deserve this. But it is the unmerited favor of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, that allows me and every one of us to be in the presence of God this morning. So I think we have to be vulnerable, church. We have to admit our weakness to God, our need for such a great Savior. And we have to surrender all. Not some, but we surrender all of us. And say, Lord, I cannot do it on my own. I cannot save myself. I need you, God. I fully need you. Salvation is found in no other name alone but Jesus Christ. There's no other way, church. But the good news is that way is freely offered by grace this morning. Lord, change our hearts. May we be more like you. A round of applause this morning. Okay, children, y'all can come on down. The rest of you, be seated.
Morning.
Good.
I'm excited to see everybody here today. Are y'all excited to be here? Yes. All right. Well, good. All right. Let me get my little bag over here. All right. I have a jar with me this morning. Do you know what's in my jar?
Dirt.
Well, it's not really dirt. It's kind of sand. This is sand, right? Do you know where I got this sand from? Anybody got a guess where I might got the sand from?
The volleyball court.
That's right. Billy went out there and got the sand for me. So we don't have a beach anywhere close, do we? No. So sand is not. We don't have a lot of sand. But this is sand. It's kind of rocks in and stuff in it, but we're going to call it sand, right? So my question is, do you know how many grains of sand I have in my jar? A lot? Do you think I have more than 100?
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. You think I have 1,000,000 in there?
No.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I didn't count them yet, and I don't know that I'm going to count them because it would take me a very long time to count all the grains of sand just in my jar. So you think about that. If I have this much sand, and it's a lot of grains of sand, when you think about beaches, how much sand is on the beaches?
A lot.
I don't think we could ever count all the sand on the beaches, could we? No. Or all the sand in this world, we couldn't, right? Yeah, that would be really hard to do. So the reason why I brought the sand, so this week I was doing my daily Bible reading in the morning I think it was on Thursday morning, and my verse that I read talked about sand. That's really cool. I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. So I'm going to read you that verse and tell you what God says about sand. It says, Psalms 139, 17, and 18. It says, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Do you know that God thinks about you more than all the grains of the sand in this earth? Can you imagine that? That's a lot of thinking about each one of us, isn't it? It's incredible that God thinks about us. Do you think about God all the time? Do you ever forget sometimes to think about him? Yeah, I think we do. But does God stop thinking about us? No. So question, what do you think God thinks about you? Do you know what he thinks about you? What are some things that he might think about you? Anybody got ideas? Okay, Emma? That you are special. That's right. God thinks that you are special, that you are loved. He loves you so much that he created you. You are his masterpiece. You were chosen by God. Did you know that? That we are forgiven? Do you know God has so many thoughts about us? The list could go on and on and on because it outnumbers all the grains of sand in this world. Isn't that amazing that God thinks so much of us and he loves us so much that he thinks about you all the time? So when you're tired or you're afraid or something's hard is going on, guess what you can remember? That God is thinking about you because he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us, and he loves you so much, and he thinks about us, each one of you, all the time. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. Just thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you think about us all the time. And I thank you that even when we don't think about you, you are always thinking about us and loving us. And just you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us, Lord. Just bless us as we move through today and help us to learn and grow and know you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all these boys and girls that are here today. And just bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have those worshiping with us online. If you want to check into this service or the online service, that would be awesome. You can do that through the app. I'm going to start off with another Operation Christmas Child video. So, Ben, if you have that queued up, let's go ahead and watch that.
My name is Kreshnik Chahaya, and I come from Southeastern Europe. I was 6 years old during the war in Kosovo, which left a lot of people very poor. The place was just devastated. It was the houses were burned, the schools were destroyed. There was a lot of pain and poverty. My family decided to stay in Kosovo during the whole time to shelter from one place to another. We would try to sleep in my mother's lap with the whole neighborhood in one basement. So it was tight. It was hot, no room to play, no room to move, loud to the point where we couldn't sleep, we couldn't rest. A couple years after, we had this really cool group of people come in to our school. These people came with their smiles and they came with a light heart. It was Christmas time. We heard the story of Joseph and Mary and how Jesus was born. I got lost in the story because it reminded me as a six-year-old in the basements when we were trying to shelter. It was just that parallel of how Jesus never had a place to be born, and they had to put him in a manger, find whatever means they can to for him to be born. I related to that, and I wanted to know more. I was curious. Then we lined up, we got our boxes. It was the best day of my life. I had never received something that was my own. Together with the box, there was a pamphlet, and it came from the church for a kids ministry. I was more curious, and it just kept building and building. About 10 years old, I decided to give my life to Jesus. I grew up to lead that ministry, and I believe to this day that whoever put that box together prayed about that and prayed for an 8-year-old boy somewhere in the world to receive, and it will come to know Jesus. Well, that's what happened. An 8-year-old boy received a gift and changed his life forever.
Well, the power of the love of Christ through a shoebox. So continue to fill those. There are shoeboxes by both entrances. If you want to know more information about how to get involved, there's a place on the app that you can go to, and we'll let you know other ways that you can fulfill God's desire through this ministry. There's an insert in your bulletin about a pancake dinner fundraiser this Wednesday night from 5 to 6. It will be in place of our typical Wednesday night meal. Please come and join us. You can see what that supports. If you're unable to attend that, you can also donate by scanning the QR code. This is a great opportunity for the 4th and 5th graders to encounter Christ at a Superstart event, so come support that. And our trunk or treat is this coming Saturday from 4 to 6. And last report, we have 40,000 pieces of candy. And you, through your donations, we can probably purchase another 6,000, so we're really close to our 50,000 goal. Thank you so much for your generosity. We have 28 cars committed. We could use two more. And then we have 4 parking lot attendants, and we could use 2 more as well. And I don't think that that takes much skill, because they've asked me to help in the parking lot. So just thank me, and you're probably qualified. So just a great opportunity to share the love of Christ with our community. And for those of you who are newer to our fellowship, we have a discovery class that our pastor is hosting next Sunday morning, excuse me, at 9 a.m. in the office. And if you want to know more about our church, about our passion, about our ministry opportunities, and you can come meet with our pastor next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning for our prayer time, I want to give people an opportunity to be prayed for. You may have something going on in your life that you need a touch from the Lord, and or you may know somebody that has needs that could be prayed over. So if that is you, I'm just going to ask you just to stand, and we would love to surround you and pray for you. You don't have to say anything. You can share what the need is if you want to with those that are praying. But this may be the reason God brought you here this morning. So if you need prayer this morning, I'm just going to ask you to stand. Anybody else? This is a safe place. Okay, church, let's surround these. And I'm just going to ask somebody in your group, if you don't mind leading out in prayer. And again, if you can share what the need is, or you don't have to do that. I think the Holy Spirit knows. So y'all begin to pray, and I'll close this when you've had some time to intercede. So, Father, just receive the prayers of your people. And Lord, I don't know what's been prayed in these circles, but I agree in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray that you touch bodies for your glory. I just pray for healing to break out. Physical, emotional, spiritual healing, Lord, to take place for your glory. Lord, I pray for provision for those who need to know that you can make a way. Jesus, you are the way maker, so make a way. Pray for encouragement for those who need encouraging. And Lord, some may be hanging on by a thread. God, I just pray that you overwhelm them with your goodness, overwhelm them with your Father, we commit these situations to you. We will not pray to another. We trust you. So be glorified in all that you do. Now, Father, I just thank you for an opportunity to be together. I just thank you for an opportunity to minister to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we continue to worship, as we continue to be fed this morning, I just pray that that presence is so strong, so tangible, that we know without a doubt that when we leave this place, we've met with you. Show us your glory, God. Show us your glory. Father, we praise you. We exalt you. You are our Lord and you are our King. And we thank you for this time, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you that we'll have several people available at the front if you need prayer after the service. Please take advantage of that. Also, our giving options are on the screen. You can also give through our app. You can give through the offering boxes by the doors. Also, if you have a prayer request or visitor's card, or if you fill out an insert in the bulletin, you can submit those in the offering boxes as well. Thank you so much, church, for your generosity, and let's continue to worship the Lord together. Thank you.
Is he great, church? Amen. Man, good stuff. Good worship. Good worship. If you are our guest this morning, we are really excited that you're here. I can't help but every time I see you college students, I just get joyful. Sorry. I mean, that's the way I roll, man. I'm excited to have you guys here. Yeah. If you are a guest, we're also very excited to have you here. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you after the service. I'll be at this end of the foyer and have a free gift for our guests, so we'd love to meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his internal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. So church, we're talking about from the very beginning. Being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are invited here. You are welcome here. We trust that you are here. Would you speak, Holy Spirit? Would you speak to us? Speak in power and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So starting a new sermon series, we'll get to that here in just a second, but I want to say this. I've said this before, but I love questions. I love questions. I love hard questions. Bring them on. If you have questions, you're struggling with anything, I would love to explore the scriptures with you. Questions are not the enemy of faith. Jesus said, "You will when you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me." It's seeking. He loves questions too. He wants you to seek him. He wants you to ask questions. Questions are not the enemy of faith. Silence is. So we're starting a series today called Dear God. We're just going to address some things in Scripture that mostly our world asks. Today's message is, Dear God, how do I know you are real? Now, I would think and I would assume that most of us here this morning believe in God. And we have a faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're still in that journey of seeking those answers. But this is more of a teaching series where this hopefully, because I talked to two people that didn't know I was going here this Sunday, two people in the last week that have loved ones that are questioning the existence of God. Two in the last week. So when you have people in your life that you care about, I want to give you some knowledge that we can use, we can utilize in those discussions. So we're just going to dive right in here. We know that God is real because of first cause, and that's a fancy way of saying that, it's a scientific fact that every action has a cause and effect. If the moment, this is important, hear this sentence, the moment something exists, it begs the question, where did that come from? I was, there's a lot of construction, home construction going on around us, and if you were to be driving down the street and you saw something like that, you would think, that looks like some dirt. And some, what kind of trees are they? Cedar. I would think most of those are cedar. We would probably walk by there and sneeze. But you'd think that's just dirt. But if in 3 weeks, if you drove back by that and saw something like that, you wouldn't think, oh my gosh, a bunch of boards fell out of the sky. And some of them are standing up on end. No, what would you think? Somebody's creating something. Something's happening here. Where did that come from? Who's building that? How many of you drove by and see something and go, who's building that? I wonder who's that's for? Especially we do it with businesses. No offense to my bankers in town, but every time a new commercial building goes up, Cheryl and I drive by and go, I guess it's another bank. Because we got one ever, three buildings is a bank. No offense, bankers. We love you. God loves you. But when we see something happening, when we see something being built, it begs the question, where did it come from? Who's doing that? Well, let's look at the very first four words of God's word. In the beginning, God. And we can stop right there, and that says it pretty much says it all. In the beginning, God. Psalms 102 says this way, in the beginning, you, God, in the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. Creation requires a creator. Creation requires a creator. All right, secondly, we know that God is real because of intelligent design. Those of us who believe in God, who've come to that place where we understand that there is a God, even the atheist, we must answer the question, how did it all begin? We must answer that. Well, let's add one more word to the first sentence of God's word. In the beginning, God created. So God is infinite. He's been here from the very beginning. And he's doing something. He has done something, and he's still doing something. He's creating. He is a creator. The heavens, in Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. I've shared this before, but Cheryl and I used to do a lot of backpacking together when I had fully functioning knees. And we one of the things we enjoyed doing, you get up 12,000 or so feet, and there's no street lights, there's no car lights, there's nothing going on with light. And so we'd spread a blanket out on the ground and we'd just lay on the ground and just look up and see something similar to that right there. Just the handiwork of God in the sky, written in the sky. And sometimes, I remember one time we were seeing a sky similar to that, and there was a little dot real slowly. Anybody know what that was? It was a satellite. We're like, that's a satellite. You can tell. But that, nobody created that satellite. It just kind of poof, it just popped up there, by the way. God is this creator. There was a Greek astronomer in 128 BC. His name was Hipparchus. I'm glad your daughter's here, Billy. He was also the father of trigonometry. I knew I didn't like that man. Father of trigonometry, Hipparchus, 128 BC. And he counted the stars, I guess with the naked eye. I don't know how he did it, but he came up with 1,026 stars. That's how many we got. Well, some 1,500 plus years later, almost 1,600 years later, in 1600 AD, Kepler, a German astrologer, and another one of those crazy mathematicians. He went the other direction. He said, no, there's only 1,005 stars. In 2003, the Hubble telescope estimates that there are 70 sextillion stars. Let's unpack that number for a second. I was telling the early service, that sounds exactly like my bank account. We're in the sextillions. Million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion. That's 70 with 21 zeros. Go ahead and throw that up there. Ben, one more time. That is how many stars that they were able to count with the Hubble telescope. That surpasses the 1,026 that was estimated. That's more than the grains of sand in every desert and beach on the earth. I didn't, by the way, Carlene did not know I was going there with this sermon when she came up with their children's message. Houses, watches, ships, computers, cell phones. You know, these, isn't it crazy what we carry around in our pocket? There's more computing power right here than what landed, the men that landed on the moon. There's more, and they had big, gigantic computer-filled rooms. There's more computing power right there. Oh, man, I wonder how that happened. It's almost like somebody fairly intelligent created that. These things all exhibit intelligent design. The universe exhibits intelligent design. Therefore, the universe must have been planned and produced by an intelligent designer, an intelligent creator, i.e. God. And here's what the beauty, all the, I mean, that's beautiful sky and all the things that we see that God has created. Guess what he calls his masterpiece? You and I. We're his greatest creation. And man, I could preach a whole sermon on the complexity of our bodies. We think we're something because we've discovered DNA and all that stuff, and it's like God's up there going, you guys still don't know anything. He is a master designer. Intelligent design requires an intelligent designer. Third, we know that God is real because of reasoning and morality. Most of you heard me a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago now, I worked on a walk to Emmaus, and one of the speakers on this weekend, he used the analogy, I love this, he was a big deer hunter. And he talked about this deer, that this trophy buck that he had killed. And he talked about the difference between that buck and people, us, humans, was that buck, everything it did on instinct. That deer did not get up in the morning and say, I wonder what I'll do today. I think I'll prance through the forest. He didn't make any decision. He worked purely off of instinct. I'm hungry. I want to mate. I want to sleep. I want to eat. Purely on instinct, whatever his instinct was telling him. The difference between that deer and you and I is we have the ability to think abstractly, to make choices based on morality and instinct. And unfortunately, I told the early service that unfortunately in our culture, many of us act more like a deer than we do a human being. Hello, is this on? We don't think. We don't think about consequences or choices that we have that many times. But God gave us that ability. That didn't just happen. Our sense of morality points to the existence of a moral creator, i.e. God. I love this in Romans 7. Paul, you know, I like Paul because he was God's guy, but him and Peter, boy, they both, you know, still messed up. But Paul in Romans 7, he gives us this moral dilemma. He says, I desire to do what is good, Paul says, but I can't carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. I do the bad that I don't want to do. The evil that I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And he comes to this conclusion, and even that struggle tells us there's a God. The fact that he's even recognizing that there is two choices, the good I want to do versus the evil I don't want to do. God put that in us. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God rescues us. He gives us these choices, but he is also, he gives us the moral fiber to make the right choice, to choose him. A sense of moral standards indicates that there must be a moral standard giver, i.e. God. Anybody, y'all still with me? Fourth thing, we know that God is real because of risk and reward, and we're moving into more of a convincing argument rather than what we see. But risk and reward. I actually was visiting with someone this week who shared this very statement to a loved one who's having trouble believing in God. If a person chooses to believe in God and he doesn't exist, then nothing is lost. A moral life has been lived. And I would say a blessed life has been lived. However, if a person chooses to not believe in God and he does exist, everything's lost for all eternity. And these aren't my words, this is God's word. Psalm 53, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I mean, it's God's word saying, if you can't see, I mean, I've made it obvious from the very beginning. Look around. I'm a creator. I'm an intelligent creator. You're a fool if you don't believe in me. Proverbs 14, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And church, that should inspire us to share the gospel, knowing that there are eternal consequences at stake for every one of us. Belief in God has a low risk and an eternal reward. Fifth point, we know that God is real because of Jesus. Matthew 1, the virgin will be with child. I'm not that bright, and I even know that's not real common. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. The angel's proclaiming, you want to believe in God? He's fixed to be flesh and blood. He's going to dwell among you. And I was telling the early service, we believe as Christians, we should believe in the Trinity, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God. It's not a hierarchy. It's not God the Father and a little rung down or so is God the Son and another little rung is God the Holy. No, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God with us, Emmanuel, John chapter 1. God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Some people, you hear this, man, I was telling our service, if atheists worked nearly as hard and just with facts as they did trying to convince people that there's no God, it's like, man, they'd be blown away. Be blown away. But one of the arguments that you hear from those that don't believe is they would say, Jesus never, he was a man, he never said he was God. No, wrong. And I told the early service I don't like to whip out the Greek on you, but I'm going to throw one down. That's bull. I'll try to keep it simple around here. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I'm God. I'm Emmanuel. God made flesh. If you believe in Jesus, you believe in God. Now, I love this. Thomas, the Apostle Thomas, he got a bad rap. I think Thomas was probably, you know, he probably had one moment where he doubted, and so now we call him Doubting Thomas for all eternity. Poor guy. But the disciples saw Jesus taken down off the cross, dead, put in a tomb. 3 days later, he appears to the disciples, and Thomas wasn't with them the first time. And they're telling Thomas, we've seen him. Jesus is alive. He did what he said he was going to do. He's alive. And Thomas, no. Unless I can put my finger in his hand and my finger in his side, I will not believe. You think Jesus might have known that? Here it is, John 20. Then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here. Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And here was Thomas. This is important. Here was Thomas's response. My Lord and my God. If Jesus is God made flesh, then there must be a God. And we've got to deal with Jesus. Do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe he is who he says he is? He's done what he said he was going to do. Last thing. I know that God is real because he transformed my life. You know, all these other things can be debated. A changed life cannot be debated. God has to exist because he changed my life. And I was telling her, I didn't plan on saying this, but I'll say it again. This was before I was a pastor, and it's not a boastful statement. It just shows God changes lives. After my brother was killed, his best friend pulled me aside and told me, he said, Jay said to me, something happened to my little brother. Something's happened to my little brother. I don't know. He didn't understand fully what it was. Something's happened to my little brother. He's different. Apostle Paul. Paul was a scoundrel. I mean, he either had Christians imprisoned or persecuted or killed, and he encountered the resurrected Jesus. And here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. God's grace to me was not without effect. God's grace to Paul had an effect. It changed his life. A changed life is, you can give me all your arguments if you don't believe in God. If I'm talking hypothetically, not you necessarily, but you can say make all the arguments and try to knock down all these other things, but you'll never convince me he hadn't changed my life. Has he changed your life, church? 1 Peter says it this way, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Man, he's saying, first of all, we need to have the hope that comes from Christ. And if people see that in us and go, what's up? Why everybody else is freaking out here? Everybody else is freaking out. They're watching the news and they're seeing all this stuff that's going on and all. It's like, everybody's like really anxious and freaking out, but you're not. What's up? Well, his name's Jesus. Jesus changed my life. I know he's in control. If God changed your life, then he must be real and he must love you. I want to invite the praise team to come back up. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Jesus, I would imagine most of us have people in our lives that we love that don't know you. Maybe don't even believe in you. Would you reassure us that you're at work? You are the great I am. You are the transformer of lives. We press into you, O God. We pray for our friends and perhaps our neighbors, perhaps our spouses or children that don't know you. Perhaps a family member or a neighbor, a coworker. We press in, O God. Would you reveal yourself to them? Would you reveal yourself even deeper to us? Give us that hope that comes from you and help us to be prepared to share why we have it. love you, we trust you, and we worship you. You are our Lord and our God. You are Emmanuel, God with us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, please don't leave this place today without talking to me about that. He loves you. He wants relationship with you. As we're fixing to sing, he cast the stars into the sky. That's how big he is. And yet, with that, he's mindful of us. He loves us. What a good God. You'll rise if you're able as we close.
God of creation, there at the star before the beginning of time. Salvation, it chased down my heart.
speak, he's speaking right now.
100 billion failures disappear.
There's forgiveness in Christ.
When you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you so alive, I see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in the work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender so alive, I see your heart in billion different ways. Every precious one, the child you died to. Could amount to your desire. You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Wanted to tell you also that we had Tara and Emily Stevens were accepted Christ in the early service and were baptized and joined our church. Yes. I didn't want you to miss out on that. God is an intelligent, loving creator, and you are his masterpiece. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org.
God bless you.